of some unlucky accident should befall him if he should get shot in the head by a police officer. Or if he should hang himself in his jail cell. Or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning. Then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room.
And I'm a lesbian. I don't like nothing swinging between their legs.
Hello, 73. I'm Sandy. This is the Lesbian Mafia. Hi. How are you? I was just thinking of something because the whole thing that happened with Mark Madoff, and I don't know if you guys know, I'm sure you did, I'm sure you heard about it, but Mark Madoff, who is Bernie Madoff's son, who was convicted for all of the Wall Street, whatever, it's, you know the story, it's a huge fiasco. But anyway, so he, you know, apparently hung himself with a dog leash. I don't know, but if I was $1 billion wealthy, and I could probably choose to go in any way possible, in the most peaceful way, you know, probably pills or something, I would choose to go by hanging myself on a dog with a dog leash on the anniversary of my father's arrest 2 years later. Anyway, so that's another story. But I think that a lot of people don't really understand just how these kind of stories are related to everything that's going on in the world economically and how it affects you and the food on your plate. You know, I don't think really a lot of people make that connection, but it made me start to think about an old girlfriend that I had who was a really, when I tell you, and there are women out there like this, and, you know, a lot of us won't admit it, but there are some seriously, you know, deranged feminists out there, okay? They're really deranged, and everything is a syndrome. So any situation can be turned into how you're victimized by the man and that kind of thing. Just like any other radical, just like black activists or queer activists, you know, like everything comes down back to, it could be fucking anything. It could be a, you know, piece of tissue paper and, oh, that's too white, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how they just turn certain people just, you know, they look for, I'm still recovering from a very long, serious bout of bronchitis, so please forgive me if I sound icky, but, so, you know, there are people like this who are just really radical and extreme, and, you know, I can be radical too, so I'm not excluding myself from that at all, but, you know, I think, you know, I can be reasoned with, so, but so, you know, she was really, oh my God, and it was a very long relationship, and it was, oh my God, it was the worst, oh God, I mean, it started off nicely, but it ended up being really, just because I can't just, you know, constantly talk about how you're a victim every single day. You want to talk about, you know, and look for problems and, you know, why this person said that. It must be because of this. It must be because, you know, and you blame everything. It's, oh God. Well, anyway, she didn't like when I hung out with anyone, but she particularly had a problem with guys. And, you know, I will give her that we grew up in a very disgusting, misogynist neighborhood filled with disgusting Guidos who are just horribly misogynist. I mean, listen, even the straightest woman that I know who lives in the Bronx, there is an element of feminism in her that wouldn't be in your normal waspy little twat that lives in her little white world somewhere else. But anyway, just like these people on Twitter, when I was twittering the other night about how, you know, about NIMBYism, and they get, oh my God, these white girls, they just, oh my God, when you call people on shit, it's like the guitar that's leaning up against the wall and it's completely silent, you know, and then you bump into it and it's like boom, like a whole sound. You know, it's like all the strings and, you know, it's like you totally rattle their nerves when you say something. Liberals, toughen up, liberal women. Toughen up, get some, you know, don't, oh, what are you saying? Because I live in an all-white neighborhood, then I'm a racist? What? Do you have any idea what a concentrated effort it is, especially if you live in New York, to go and live in an all-white, to find an all-white neighborhood? That is a very calculated, intentional effort. So, if you want me to take you seriously, little idiola, you're going to have to be a little more real. Because sitting on your perch in your white neighborhood and talking to everyone else who lives in pretty much, you know, integrated neighborhood, you know, for the most part, integrated neighborhoods, you might want to STF you instead of calling everyone racist, you stupid ass. Anyway, that is not even at all what I was about to talk about. So this woman that I was going out with for a very long time, and this was a very long time ago, mind you. You know, I can't really tell recent stories because, you know, everybody listens to the show. So anyway, so she really didn't like men. She really didn't. I mean, it was real, you know, or like, you know, animal activists, they start to not like people. You know, that's very real. You know, they start to just become really deranged and lunatic, and all they want to eat is fucking wood chips and hedges, you know? I mean, this shit really goes on. There's gay people who just cannot integrate into mainstream society. They just, their world becomes really microscopic. It becomes very small, you know? And then they start to think that everybody thinks the way they do. And then if they hear someone else talking who also happens to be gay, they're like, what the hell is wrong with you? You're the crazy one, right? Because you don't think like we do, and we're in our little microscopic world of maybe 20 people, and we all think exactly alike. And, you know, so anyway, I keep switching subjects. Sorry. So she really did not like men. And sometimes, and I will be honest, at times when there's like this woman who isn't very masculine, but, you know, she has that edge of, you know, men are aggravating. Like, to me, that's a little bit of a turn on. And I hate to tell you guys, but a lot of strippers have that attitude. So you think that it's only a certain type of woman who feels that way. It's only feminists. Some of the most profoundly man-hating women I've ever met have been women who work in the sex industry. So anyway, you know, there is something erotic about that for me anyway, you know, because I don't know why, but it just is. That's an awful thing to admit, but, you know, that's because I share things with you. Sharing is caring. So anyway, so she really, it became, you know, it started to become even worse because then, you know, we couldn't even hang out with all my friends. You know, I had a lot of guy friends, you know, this is a long time ago. So I was a little bit more susceptible to following her and letting her kind of create the world that she wanted to create for us, which was basically just me and her and no one else, you know, very possessive, all the characteristic traits. So, she didn't like men. She could be in their company. She could be in their company, but she didn't like them. And after we spent any amount of time with you, for sure she'd talk about you afterwards and, you know, say how you're, I don't know, a disgusting hairy gorilla, a hairy ape, you know, this kind of thing. And I found it very amusing. So anyway, is that awful? Do you guys hate me? Because I know a lot of men listen to this show. Do you hate me for saying that? No, you don't. I'm trying to be extremely clear of just how compulsive this hatred was, is that we could even be watching a television show, and if there was a man on it, she would have a comment about, oh, you know, he's ugly, you know, he's a who the hell would watch this show with this man, you know, like, she really, it became a problem. I don't know how she had problems holding jobs, you know, because there are men in these places, you know, so this woman, let me bring this back to, you know, this whole issue, this whole thing that happened with Mark Madoff supposedly hanging himself with a dog chain. I don't know. So she ended up getting a job as a stockbroker on Wall Street. And so now she was around nothing but men, right? All day long. And if you know anything about the stockbroker culture, anyone who knows anything about that culture knows that it is one of the most misogynist cultures there is, because it's economic and money is power and it's all about men and money and power and men and money and power. So she was there and they started, you know, they would train her. I don't know why I find this funny. I'm laughing right now. They would train her, and they have these slogans, you know, to keep you, you know, this shit that they do with these corporations. They have these, you know, NLP bullshit, whatever. Anyway, so they had slogans like, you know, don't pitch the bitch, you know, like, you never try to sell anything to a woman because women are, you know, cheap, you know, they don't buy anything. And so now I had this person who was basically a man hater the classic stereotype that everybody assumes you are when you're a lesbian or a feminist. You're the classic man-hater, right? And, you know, women's response to misogyny and woman hatred, you're not allowed to be angry. Like, you know, black people are allowed to be angry at white people, and everybody understands that anger and apologizes for being white. You know, but women are not ever allowed to have any anger about misogyny or, you know, woman hating and sexism. You're not allowed to have that anger, because if you express any dislike about your position in this world, then you're a man hater. Just remember that. So you can't forget these things. These are very important lessons that I teach you. This is what you learn when you listen to the Lesbian Mafia. So anyway, so now I had this person who was just a crazy man basher. Now she became like a female chauvinist, like a male, like a sex. So she went from that to being a sexist pig. And these slogans, she'd say all these slogans about, you know, like, don't pitch the bitch. And she was just like, oh yeah, women, you know, now she hated women. And so it, I guess the moral of this, because the story is going nowhere, but I just thought of it and it made me laugh. But I guess the moral of the story is that when you are too compulsive, when you're too quick to jump on trains, you know, you could end up on any train. You know, like, she just happened to be on the man-bashing train, and then she ended up on the woman-bashing train, and she didn't even realize it, you know, and it was all for money. It usually always ends up being for money. And then, you know, this brings me to when I see, like, these pundits on TV, like, particularly, you know, the right-wing pundits, and I really have a tolerance for, you know, I'm not one of those gay people that hates the right-wing, and it's not, I mean, you know, like, I hate what you should hate, but anyway, so, you know, you have these, like, right-wing pundits, you know, talk show hosts, radio show, you know, Fox, NBC, you know, all this bullshit, and I say to myself, what is in it for these, you know, people, like, let's say Michelle Malkin, right, who I think is very, I think her Twitter's funny, you know, but, and again, I'm not saying this out of any vindictiveness, I don't hate her or anything like this, but, you know, I'm going to be real when I say that, you know, you have somebody like this, and you ask yourself, well, what is in it for these women when they stand up for, you know, like, these hyper-wealthy top 1%, you know, you say, like, does she really think that what's good for them is good for her? You know, like, do these people, these pundits like this who, you know, preach this classism, this extreme classism, you know, the hatred of the poor and the anti-worker, you know, the hatred of the worker, you know, do they really think that aligning themselves with these people is really going to put themselves in that position? You know, it's a, you know, they have this identification with hyper-wealthy because obviously they don't relate at all to the regular worker, the regular working Joe. They don't relate at all to these people. So they can relate much more with, you know, the hyper rich, I guess. I don't know. If you're making a couple of million a year, how do you think aligning yourself and protecting the wealthiest people in the world, how do you think what benefits them is going to benefit you if you make a couple of million a year? And these people are making billions and do you really think? But then, you know, it makes me realize that, you know, they get duped like anyone else, and they're rewarded for it. You know, they're rewarded for, you know, being mouthpieces, but, you know, they really are rewarded for being these you know, petulant, like, chihuahuas, you know, like, you never stop, you keep going, like, you never stop, you on, oh, no, like, whatever the issue is of the day, you know, you're always on, you know, the hyper rich. The hyper, got to protect the hyper rich people. Anything that has to do with people, workers, the poor, you know, anything at all that has to do with the majority of America, you know, like, they just want to take it all away from you. And they think that it's going to benefit them. They think, well, I don't know if they think it or they're duped. I can't tell really what it is. Are you duped? Are they duped? Probably. Or do they know? I do know that they're rewarded for it naturally by, you know, they get exposure on a mainstream, and they get to canoodle with people, and, it, you know, they get fame from it, and that in turn helps them sell whatever they're selling, books, what have you. So they're rewarded for it, but I don't think that they really believe, or maybe they do. I guess that's the question. Do these people, these pundits that are preaching anything against the good of humanity, for hyper wealthy people, and they make up all kinds of, you know, whatever the talking point is of the day, whatever they hear, the schlubs that they listen to, whatever point that they get, you know, they're going to drive it home. You know, you're job creators, job creators, job creators, you know, like, I mean, seriously, we all know the truth, you know, and it doesn't matter that people know the truth. It doesn't matter. They're just going to keep going for it. And then instead of caring about themselves, because in the end, it's going to affect them too. I mean, look at Ed McMahon. I don't know how many hundreds of millions that man, you know, they were foreclosing on his home while he was dying of cancer. The man was bankrupt, destitute when he was dying of cancer. So if you think you're immune to it because you have, whatever, a couple million stashed away in the bank and you think you've got all your life planned out for you, think again. Think again, because like that quote says, when you're making plans, how does that quote say? While you're making plans, God laughs. You know, a little bit of karma. Karma does come around, even like with these Madoff guys, Mark Madoff, you know, oh my God. And when you, it's just creepy. You don't know what happened, what the story really is, but really creepy. And they were only one little family, you know, yeah, they were breaking the law like the rest of them do. They're one family in an entire system of people who you have no idea who their names are. You don't see them. They're not on the news every day. But meanwhile, these people are behind the scenes every day working on ways to just steal and loot and just do whatever they need to do. Just whatever they need to fucking do. You know, more millions, more millions, more millions. How are they going to take it away from you? So, you know, and even with this, you know, this shit that Obama just signed with the tax shit with fraud, you know, whatever. That's, you know, it's the beginning of, you know, looting Social Security. You know, they want to take everything they can from the regular person. From, you know, they want to take away Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, any kind of social safety, anything. Anything, whatever, for the good of humanity. And if you grew up in a home with a single mother, you know, you have people like Ann Coulter who say, oh, you know, women want the government to be their husband, which I think it's funny. But someone like her has never been in a situation where maybe you were married. You know, like not everyone's as brilliant as Ann Coulter, who never married and never had any kids. Not everyone's that brilliant. Some women were married. They married too young. Like when I was born in the 70s, women got married by the time they were 18, 19. Like my mom, she had me when she was 19. That was normal. That was regular. That was the regular age. She wasn't doing anything. She wasn't like these disgusting degenerates on MTV, the pregnant show, whatever the hell it is. You know, women were married by the time they were 18. They had children when they were, you know, that age and whatever. So, you know, but sometimes you made, you know, some women made horrendous decisions like my mother did. And what if she didn't have any social safety net? She would have been stuck in a marriage and who knows, he might have beat the ever living daylights out of her, beat the shit out of me. Who knows what could have resulted of her not being able to leave that situation. And you say, oh, you know, women dependent on the government, blah, blah. Listen, we understand patriarchy. We're not fucking stupid here. We understand the laws of patriarchy and how women end up in these situations. We're not going back to the 18th century. That's not going to happen. Okay? So in spite of these pundits mouthing off, spouting bullshit, take everything away from women, blah, blah, blah. Let's go back. Yeah, let's go back. These righty women benefit more from feminism than liberals do. Liberal women aren't smart enough. So that said, these righty women are just saying, they're just spouting off bullshit, even on, you know, like when you watch Fox and that kind of thing. It's just bullshit. They don't want to go back any more than anyone else does because these men like that their women make money too. They like it. Believe me, they like it. In the process of them fighting to take away everything from us, you know, ultimately, whatever voice you have, you use. You may think that your little voice means nothing. You think, oh, I'm only reaching a couple of hundred people, or I'm only reaching a couple of thousand, or I'm only reaching 1 million or 2 million. It's really, what difference am I going to make? It's not a big deal. You know, it is. If everyone does, you collectively can work to move a consciousness forward and upward. I know a lot of people hate when I talk about, you know, standing up against what they do to Palin, how they isolate her and put her on this really disgusting, you know, I talked about it in the last show, like a maniac, obviously, but no one really does that to anyone, what they do to Palin. So, you know, I speak out against it. I do what I can. I don't like her at all as a politician. I mean, her politics. I don't want to say I don't like her. I don't like her politics. But, you know, I'm not going to stand by and not say anything when I see horrible assaults against feminism by attacking this woman in this way. If you think that just because she's not your kind of feminist, if you think that it's okay to attack her in the way that people attack her, no, it's not. But so I can, and maybe someone else might be influenced in that, and they may say it also, and there's other women who may speak out against it, and you may think your voice is small, but I'm not saying to abuse your power the way, you know, these Hollywood slobs love to abuse their power. They start spouting shit out of their mouth. They don't even know what the hell they're talking about. My opinion, me, morons do. No, I'm talking about when you are informed, not when you're a moron from Hollywood who has no idea about anything but except for the shit that you read on Ariana and MSNBC and CNN. And, you know, I welcome all the people who have, you know, opened their eyes a little bit. But, you know, I'm not going to sit back while people who have their head in the sand try to talk down to me. That I'm not going to do either. So, you know, I think people know that by listening to last show. So I lost my train of thought right now. But so I guess overall, what I'm trying to say is, you know, in the end is when you get duped, like how Webster said, you know, like the liberals got duped by Obama, the Republicans got duped by the Tea Party. You know, like you could jump from one speeding train to the next. There will always be a speeding train going in one direction or another. I mean, you know, you can't look for heroes. You have to look for logic. So I guess, you know, that's all I had to say. I don't really know what I said here, but I said something. So I just, you know, it was nice to talk to you. I hope that you're doing good. The holidays are coming. If I don't talk to you guys before then, I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday and a happy new year. And, you know, all of that stuff. And if you wanted to call and leave a message, you can. It's 1-347-989-2TLM. If you need to send an email, you can send it to info@thelesbianmafia.com. You can check out the blog at thelesbianmafia.com. We're on Twitter. There's a lot of commotion on Twitter every day. Twitter.com/thelesbianmafia. And so hopefully I'll get up another show relatively soon. But if I don't, I have a wonderful, wonderful and very happy holiday. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye. Ta-ta. Bye. Yeah.